Tomorrow, outside St. Petersburg, Russians will be able to see the fruit of a 25-year restoration project. In an old Tsarist palace, the Amber Room will be open to the public, a room with walls covered with carved tiles of the translucent fossil resin. It is a story of give and take between Germans and Russians, in which the Germans did both giving and taking. The Amber Room's history was the subject of an article in The New Yorker last month by Elizabeth Colbert. She saw the room just before the last tiles were put in place.
A room made out of amber is actually a room covered with wooden panels that then have been covered with tiles made out of amber. And these panels stretch about 13 feet high, and they cover three walls of this room. And it was a set of the original amber room that it seemed to glow from within, which turns out to be quite a marvelous description of the experience of standing in the middle of this room, which has a sort of honey-colored light that seems to filter through it.
The sense of what you're surrounded by, it isn't like, I'm trying to visualize this, it's not like tile, it's certainly not like a painted wall. Is it like anything else that you could invoke?
It's closest to a mosaic, but it's completely seamless. There's no spaces in between the pieces of amber, and that's one of the many magnificent parts of it. The most distinguished pieces have faces, they have mythological figures, they have cannons. There are many that have very wonderful designs. They've been carved very intricately, which is really why the project has taken so many years to replicate.
Whose idea originally was the Amber Room?
The idea for the original Amber Room came from Frederick the Great, who was the first king of Prussia. He had himself crowned king of Prussia, and on his way back from his own coronation ceremony, he came up with the idea for the Amber Room, and he set many, many workmen to working on it.
But the Amber Room begins as a Prussian idea, but it's going to be opened in St. Petersburg, Russia. Explain that transition.
Well, it's a long and tangled tale, which starts when Peter the Great was passing through what was then Prussia in the early 18th century. He was just in the process, really, of building St. Petersburg, and he met with Frederick the First's son, Frederick William, who wasn't particularly interested in the Amber Room or really anything that his father had done, and he presented it to Peter the Great as a gift.
So the Amber Room goes from Prussia to St. Petersburg until the Second World War.
Yes, and then the story gets really quite fascinating, and it is taken by the Nazis. When the Nazis take what's then Leningrad, they take it down and put it in boxes and store it somewhere, and no one knows where. And at that point, it disappears. No one has ever come up with a single trace of it except for one picture, one little mosaic picture that's not actually made out of amber, but is made out of semi-precious stones that surfaced on the black market in Bremen a few years ago.
So the project that will be unveiled to the public this weekend in St. Petersburg is a copy. Do we know if it's a really accurate copy?
Well, that's a really good question. It's being rebuilt from a series of photographs that were taken in the 1930s, and those photographs, however, were in black and white, and they were also obviously two-dimensional. So in order to build a color copy and a three-dimensional copy has required a great deal of extrapolation, but they've tried to be absolutely true to the original.
Well, Elizabeth Colbert, thank you very much for talking with us about the Amber Room.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Colbert's article, Forever Amber, appeared in the New Yorker magazine of April 14th. The room opens to the public outside St. Petersburg tomorrow, just in time for the city's 300th anniversary.